This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. It is another fabulous day in the Mid-Valley here in Salem-Keizer for 1430 KYKN. This is our Newsmakers Noon Hour. We're here every weekday from noon to one talking about local issues and ideas and institutions and individuals. We have a great week, Dave. We have a great week of guests. We had Senator Winters on yesterday. We're full of guests this week, so I hope everybody plans on tuning in. And in the studio today, we have one of my favorite public servants. Again, we have Marion County Commissioner Kevin Cameron. And Kevin, and I mentioned this with Senator Winters, one of the things I like when we have elected leaders is that they had some sort of background in small business. And they know what it's like to employ people, to live under rules, live under regulations, you know, try to make a buck and not necessarily have any money at the end of the month. And yet they're paying everybody else but themselves. I know I've lived that. And it's just a special understanding that elected leaders, they're able to put into perspective that if you haven't done that, it's hard to understand. So, anyway, Kevin Cameron, he's now Marion County Commissioner, was sworn back in yesterday. Welcome to the studios, Kevin.
It's good to be here with you, Brent.
Thank you. It's great
for having me. I first time on your show, but the studios are familiar to me.
Yeah. I bet you were probably a regular in Gator and Denise's show last year and the year before. And
yeah,
you've probably been in the studio more in the last couple of years than I have. But it's nice to be here, and thanks for coming on the show. So he's a commissioner now, but before he was a commissioner, he was a state rep. Before he was a state rep, he was just a small business owner, right?
Yeah, and still am.
See, I was going to say, you still own a piece of business, right?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into owning small businesses. And I know you sold off a piece and you owned it and all that. Tell us just a snippet of how that worked.
Well, I just, my background was start as a dishwasher in the restaurant business. After working in agriculture, moving irrigation pipe, people always say, why do you want to be in the restaurant business? It's a tough business. I got not as hard as ag, right?
Yeah.
Some of that stuff. But basically been in the restaurant business all my life. And I got into politics as a result of going into the Capitol and testifying on issues that were important to us as business people and to our employees, right? And it affected us and our employees greatly, but what was happening in the Capitol. And I kind of looked up there one day and I was talking about workers' comp insurance, and I asked people up on the dais, hey, did any of you ever purchase workers' comp insurance? And nobody had. And I thought, wow, we got to have some people in here that understand both sides of the issue. So at that point in time, it took a few years, but I said, someday I'm going to go in and give back. And so I was appointed in 2005. And I have good people in the business that continue to run it. And we've sold it. We've been selling it over the period of years to the employees that actually have been with us for many years.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, workers' comp is one of those things that's mandated by the government that you have to own. And then you have the policymakers that really don't understand how it works.
Right, right. So it's interesting.
I appreciated you being in the Capitol for that reason. And you're probably not likely to go back anytime soon. How would you like to be in this upcoming session?
No, I think they're getting sworn in next, or sworn at, one of the two, next Monday. Is it Monday? I think they're getting sworn in. So it's going to be an interesting session. And, of course, we have a lot of our meetings right there in our building, which is down the street there at the county building. And I continually kind of look over at that building and say, what are they going to do that impacts us? Because we're delivering a lot of services in the county. I mean, the county's really boots on the ground. Cities and counties are delivering the services that people really rely on.
Do you miss being a legislator?
You know, you know what I miss about it, Brett, is the relationships. I really enjoy having relationships with people. And I got along with people on both sides of the aisle when I was there. You know, I'm still good friends and still hang out with people like Brian Clem and others that are local legislators here. And of course, we need to get things done too. So we go back to the Capitol and we have a whole, in fact, this afternoon, I'll have a Public Safety Coordinating Council. We're going to go through a whole agenda of items that impact us at the county. So it's great to have those relationships. I don't necessarily miss the politics of the building.
Yeah.
That's, you know, as a business guy, you kind of want to just go get things done. And sometimes it just just drives you crazy because the politics just go back and forth all the time.
A lot of times we send people to our capital or the nation's capital. We've talked about this and how they want to get things done and they want to help, and they end up, you know, running into a party system or
right.
A system of corruption is such a harsh word, but a system of, this is the way it works, and if you want this to happen, you have to do this, instead of just, hey, let's just work together and get some stuff done and everybody vote their conscience, right?
Right.
That just doesn't happen. That's too bad. I remember at the time, though, you were getting frustrated in terms of, you know, being part of a minority party. So you're a Republican, and now if you were in there, you'd be a part of a minority right. party when the other party has a super majority.
Yeah. Well, we were tied that one year. That was an interesting year, 2011, 30-30. Yeah, historic year. Yeah. Great experience. I wouldn't trade that for anything. It was really a good experience.
So 9.5 years as a representative in the state legislature. Now you've been a county commissioner in Marion County for 4.5 years. Just got reelected this November.
Mm-hmm.
Tough campaign.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you all
give credit. Give credit to my opponent. She worked really hard and was out there. Outspent me about 2-1, but I still survived. And I think the people respect what I've gotten accomplished and give me another chance to keep going.
Good. Yeah. Well, I know I do. What surprises me about Kevin, and we actually, our paths cross in the community in just little spurts. So Kevin's never invited me over for a barbecue. How about you, Dave?
No. Oh, wait a minute. No, I've had barbecues. I've had kickoff uh-huh. parties that have okay. barbecues. Uh-huh. I'm sure you were invited.
I'm sure. Yeah, I must have got lost in the mail. But, however,
yeah, too, yeah.
Kevin and I, our efforts in the community do interact. And I've been saying on the show, every time I see him, he's coming back from Idana, or he's coming back from Gates, or he's coming back from any corner, you know, Mount Angel, any Dayton, any corner of the county, and you're out doing work and involved, and it's one of the reasons I think you'd be interesting on the show. So today, as we talk to County Commissioner Kevin Cameron, we're going to talk about what's going on in Detroit and the Lake. We're going to talk about what's going on with recidivism and a reentry initiative, the main topic I want to talk about today. And there are a lot of topics because the county does touch a lot of things that affect our quality of life,
mm-hmm.
And the things that surround us, and even sometimes even our pocketbooks and infrastructure and all that good stuff. All right. We are going to come back. We're going to come back here in a minute. Before I tackle a first topic, we're going to come back and talk about the reentry program.
Okay.
And I know that's a collaborative effort and many layers of government, and that should be fascinating. So stick with us. We're with Commissioner Kevin Cameron at 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
I like how that sounds, the Capital Auto Group studios. That's new. So welcome to them as a sponsor. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. And our Newsmakers guest is Kevin Cameron, and we're talking about reentry program. We're talking about people coming out of our correctional facilities that are in the Salem area. So this has been a discussion for a long, long time, because for a long time, actually it was in the Constitution, I think, wasn't it, that all correctional facilities had to be in Salem. So Salem got more than its fair share of, you know, state prisoners, and then they were being released in Salem instead of going back to their homes and the counties they came from, and it was a big tax on the efforts of public safety and, of course, human services. And now we're trying to reduce the number of people that end up back in the prison.
That's
recidivism
that's the goal.
Rate is.
Right.
So a lot of people are coming out and they're released. And how many end up back in jail?
Yeah. So Brent, I want to say that there's a couple things here. We want to reduce the number that are going back, but we've also got programs, we can talk about those later, that try to prevent people from having to go there at the beginning to mm-hmm. divert and to help them with their lives too. So, but on the reentry side, we have 600 people approximately every year that come out of the Department of Corrections to Marion County. That doesn't include the jail that's mm-hmm. just people are going in for a night or 2 hours or 2 days or whatever it is. So of those 600, you go back to when we were hovering around 40% on recidivism rate, and what that meant was within 3 years, for every 100 people that were coming out, within 3 years they would commit a new crime.
40 of them.
Yeah, out of each 100. So if you had 600 a year coming out, That's 240, if my math is right. Sometimes it's
good
right,
work.
Sometimes it's wrong. 240 people within 3 years of those 600 would be going back to prison for a new crime. And so I want to give credit to Commissioner Carlson. When I was in the legislature in 2000, I got there in 2005, she started the Marion County Reentry Initiative. And I joined that in 2006 or 7 with her as a state legislator. And we started working on bills together at the state. For example, we passed a bill that would require the DMV and Department of Corrections to work together so that people, when they came out, would have driver's license or ID cards. Because the barriers to reentering into society, and there's a lot of these same barriers that impact our military, if you think about it, are people who have been overseas and served our country with everything they have. You need housing, you need a job, right? And you want to be back with your family. And to get housing or to get a job, you got to have your ID.
Right.
So now, fast forward 12 years later, we get reports on how many people are getting their IDs or their driver's license, or at least they come out with a Social Security card and a birth certificate so they can go with their parole and probation officer to get those things. So those are the types of programs that we instituted, as well as increased supervision. There's some other programs that we've done as well. And in Marion County, we do a really good job taking high-risk offenders. We have a program called SOAR, which is through Chemeketa. And these are are these partnerships that Marion County has great, just lots of people who work together, nonprofits and the colleges, et cetera. So SOAR. And if you ever get a chance, I'd invite you to come out and see one of these SOAR graduations over at Chemeketa. I think we're up to 32, or I can't remember how many of these classes we've had so far.
So when you say these are higher risk people,
right.
What do you mean by that?
High risk to reoffend.
Okay.
So they get intensive. You think about it, when you come out of prison, you're reentering into society. You know, they may not have had cell phones when you went in, right? I mean, it might have still been the rotary phone or whatever. So you've got all these things that you're coming out, your family, where's your family, all these things. But these people actually get put into a program where they go to college. And you think about going, now I was in prison, now I'm a college student. And so what's that do to your self-esteem and your elevation? So they go through this intense program, and they actually graduate, and then they get jobs, and they come back. And the recidivism rate, I wish Commissioner Carlson was here because she has that stuff right off the top of her head. And she retired as of yesterday. But the recidivism rate of this high-risk group, which would have probably been in the 50 percentile, 60 percentile, is now down in the teens because of the care that we give these people. And you think of that in cost, not only to the state for housing them in a prison, but think about the cost in years in my life and the citizens that are out there listening today on the crimes, the victims, the cost of victims. So, and then the other thing you can't put a value on is them reunited with their families and raising their children in a quality of life versus a life of crime. So it's really good stuff.
That's well put. And I think we would add, you know, what we pay in terms of quality of life in our neighborhoods, the value of our homes in our neighborhoods, and what we pay for insurance in our neighborhoods has a lot to do with the crime rate as well. And of course, the taxpayer dollars that are spent incarcerating them. Let me ask you, you say they get jobs. Do you have a buy-in from a particular economic sector or some employers that are willing to take them on? And where are they plugging in?
So that's another area that I'm working. I was appointed to the governor's, Governor Kulongowski appointed me to the governor's reentry council back in 2007. And I continue to serve on that council. And then the last 2 years, we've been working with Genevieve Martin. She co-chairs the business implementation team with me on the governor's reentry council. We just finished a statewide tour where we went around and did this program and brought businesses in and brought nonprofits in and talked about the breaking down the myths and the barriers to reentry. We kicked it off here in Salem last April. We had over 200 people in the room.
Wow.
So we've got employers that all of a sudden, and you think about the tight labor market that's happening right now, this is another group of people that coming out, once you get them, they're really loyal. and they want to stay with you because you've given them that second chance, called the Oregon Second Chance Tour. So those are the types of initiatives that I've been working on with other people in the state.
All right, so obviously you said it involves Chemeketa Community College, mm-hmm. and while you were in the legislature, it involves the county.
Chamber.
Yeah.
People at the chamber.
Industry.
Right.
Okay, so it's
right.
very much a collaborative effort.
Yeah, I think one of the, I don't know if we still got time, but one of the things that's unique about Marion County, we've had we just had our 10th anniversary reentry breakfast, and we had it at the convention center. There was 300-400 people in the room that are coming to a breakfast to hear about reentry. So that's the kind of community wow. we have. A lot of communities don't think about that. We've had reentry workshops at SEDCOR's luncheon that they do. Mm-hmm. Here you are with a group of business people talking about reentry and how important our role is as business people.
What counties around us, like does Polk have a similar type of program?
No, I don't think anybody around us has as depth of what we do. Now, different counties do different things with their dollars that they get to utilize that, and they have different successes. Probably we're, you know, one of the big counties. You've got Multnomah County, you've got us, you've got Lane County. Lane County spends a lot more of their dollars on housing, but they have intense housing programs. Clackamas County, they have some work programs that they do. So, I mean, a lot of things we do are unique to Marion County and looked at by the legislature as programs that they want to see other people do, too.
Oh, a good
yeah.
model.
Yeah.
So, some people end up back in prison, some people integrate. You mentioned housing. In today, and some people are probably ending up who fall through the cracks, homeless, mm-hmm. right? And there's
yes.
a housing initiative. And how does the housing right. initiative intersect with the reentry initiative?
Right. So having housing for people that are coming out of prison is a key issue. Having housing for any of us is really a basic need, right? A roof over our heads. So one of the things we were going down a path of looking at how do we develop some reentry housing. And I kind of said, we've got so many resources in this community. Let's just not focus on this. What can the county do to help with housing in general? Is it our permitting process? Is it our planning process? Is it, so what we're doing, and I'll just, yeah, I see you smiling because, yeah. right, I probably one of the biggest, you know, complaints I get is, you know, something about our public works department. And bless those guys. They are working hard, and we have a new public works director. You ought to have Brian Nicholas in sometime to talk about that. They are working to try to change things that they do. But we're going to bring in a new commissioner, Colm Willis, is going to work on this with me. We're going to bring in all the stakeholders that we can put together in a room, much like our Public Safety Coordinating Council, mm-hmm. and work towards finding ways to improve housing developments, family units, whether that's low income or high income or whatever, just how do we get to more housing? Because you and I know as business people, the more gasoline that's on the market, the cheaper it gets, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're smiling at me, but maybe your margins go down, and that's always a big issue. So if you start to develop more housing or interest rates go up, we're going to have those challenges. We can't control those things, but what can we control with this group in the room? I think it'll be really interesting to see what we can do.
And you mentioned the Public Safety Coordinating Council. I served on that for a couple of years back when Commissioner Milne was the chair. And I found that a fascinating experience in terms of, and of course, it was state mandated that each county have mm-hmm. a coordinating council. The acronym was huge. It was very hard to say, yeah, I'm on the Marion County Public Safety Coordinating Council. I don't know what the heck is that. But to see the sheriff in the room with the district attorney, in the room with the juvenile justice director and mm-hmm. whatever the title is, and a lot of other interested parties that all intersect to coordinate. And yeah, we got to collaborate. We talk about that on the show a lot. So we're going to talk more about public safety when we come back from the break, and we'll talk about what's going on in Detroit, because I know that you have a special interest there, and you've been right on top of this and very critical of the Army Corps of Engineers plan. So we'll be talking about that here with Marion County Commissioner Kevin Cameron back in a minute on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Boy, welcome back to Newsmakers. We're here with Kevin Cameron, County Commissioner for Marion County. Been there 4.5 years, and now we just swore him in to be there for another 4 years. We were talking about lowering the recidivism rate of everybody who comes out of the state correctional facilities and into Marion County, and getting them plugged in so that they end up back in prison and continually on public services and so forth, and get them housing and jobs. And now we're going to transition a little bit. It's funny, you know, Dave, you learn a lot during the breaks.
Yeah, you should hear these guys talking during the breaks.
During the breaks.
No, I don't think they want to hear it.
During the break, sometimes we get a whole nother show idea coming out. So,
hell, we should talk about that.
I know, and I've been bragging on Commissioner Cameron's ability to work hard. I don't think anybody would say that Kevin Cameron does not work hard towards the betterment of a county. And that he was telling me, he goes on ride-alongs. He's been on ride-alongs on the thing that paints the stripes on the
roads.
That
would be fun.
Yeah.
I would enjoy that.
The snow plow.
Sam will tell you to go up and look in North Marion County and find the crooked stripes, and that's the one I did. Yeah.
And snow plows, and he going to go ride along with
chip
county
sealer,
inspectors. And
sewer, or and septic, septic inspector.
The juvenile work crew.
Oh, yeah. I went and did that, and they ended up giving me a weed eater, and I weed-eated for 2 hours with these guys, youth guys.
Well, I'm glad to see that you have some skills to fall back on when you're done with your political career. All right, so public safety. We were transitioning to public safety. But, of course, yeah, there's the Marion County Jail. There's the Sheriff's Office. You have to budget a lot of money for those guys. And, of course, when you have a lower recidivism rate, that saves the county money and taxpayer monies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're talking about the infrastructure that takes, and you're investing in the infrastructure. And I'm a taxpayer too, and I don't love taxes, right? Most of our listeners don't love taxes, but when you spend it on something that's durable, I seem to be all right with it for some reason, and especially if my roads are good and not crumbling.
Yeah.
And if you build a building right and it's going to be there for 40 or 50 years, and I only have to pay for it once in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, we had this public argument in Salem with the police facility. I'm like, I don't want Taj Mahal, but make it gigantic. I want to pay for it, and I don't even want my kids to pay for it, the next one. I want my grandkids to pay for it, you know, as far as investing in the future. So Marion County's been doing some of that.
Yes,
right?
We have.
In the juvenile center or
the health? First project was the health building that's out on Center Street, and, you know, that's been there for a long time, mm-hmm. and basically went through and almost gutted that building. New windows, new roof, new HVAC, paint inside, and took an old facility that was still in, you know, good bones and made it worthy for another, you know, 20, 30 years. Who knows
how long. Where's that money come from?
Well, in that case, we borrowed some, and we had some in our general fund that we had set aside for infrastructure. When I first got there, that money comes from you.
Brent, what are you laughing about?
The money comes from you and me, and when we pay our property taxes, general fund dollars, okay? All right.
I'm laughing because I'm going to get myself in trouble, Commissioner, because you said you set aside some money to do this deferred maintenance. I'm going to wonder if you could go over to the school district and teach them how that's done.
Oh, or the state.
Commissioner Perry is never going to come on the show.
But. So one of the things that when I first got there, there's a parking garage right across the street from our building that they were looking at putting $10 million into. And I kind of said, well, why? And, because City of Salem has a parking issue. And I go, I think maybe that might be the City of Salem's issue, right? I go, my first month, I put my finger through a window over in our juvenile department, you know, from dry rot. And I said, we need to invest in our infrastructure. So we've been on that track to do that. And it's been a good year, or it's been good years, right? I mean, our general fund goes up 3% pretty much, or 4% with new construction. And we've been putting a lot of our dollars into long-term infrastructure projects. People, it's not sexy stuff. It's just not, but it's one of those things that I know Commissioner Brentano and myself and Commissioner Carlson wanted to leave the county in better condition than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So the health department was our first project. We just built the new public safety building out on Almsville Highway where the sheriff moved into, and we reduced some of the lease space that we had, and they were in temporary buildings out there by the jail. Parole and probation was in temporary buildings that were like put up 25 years ago. Dick Withnail drives by one day and calls Commissioner Carlson and says, paint those things. And she said, we just did, right? I mean, it was one of those kinds of things. So they've got that. But if you look at it, it's not a Taj Mahal, but it's very practical, and it's gonna serve them into the future. And now we just broke ground on the new juvenile building out on Center Street, right next to it. But before we could do that, we had to build a new juvenile courtroom. And we used to have two security places, because we had two different courtrooms. Now, the way we designed it, there's one security stand. And so we've got the two courtrooms in, and now we can start working on the new building. They broke ground about a month and a half ago. It was a really cold groundbreaking day.
This is when you have sensible business-like minds who are thinking in the best interest of the taxpayer. You notice two examples right there. We designed this to have lower operational costs.
Right.
We designed this to last a long time. So thank
you. Novel concepts.
Right.
Thank you for that. Okay.
Well, I wish I could take credit for the design, but
we'll just give you credit.
Right. Thanks.
We also like the fact that you got 25 years out of a temporary building.
Yeah.
So that's good work, too. All right. I got to transition. We're going to run out of time this hour, and we may have to have you on in the next couple of weeks to talk about all the different topics. But Detroit, we've talked about it on the show a little bit. The Army Corps of Engineers wants a water mixing tower, a cooling tower, and they said to do this, we're going to drain the lake for 2 years. And I don't know who was in that meeting where they thought that was a good idea, and we're going to talk about it. But obviously that didn't strike you right.
Well, I think I was at a meeting. I go to these federal lakes meetings up in Gates. They happen once a quarter. And I was in one of those meetings, and Kurt Schrader's people were there, and our senators were there. Their people were there. And we heard from the Army Corps, the guy who runs, Tim, who runs the Detroit Dam operations. He goes, and by the way, we're going to do this draining thing of the lake and put in this fish water, or this water collection, water mixing tower and a fish collection system. And we kind of all looked at each other and said, what? When? That's how it came upon us. So they had an environmental impact study. That's when they got all this feedback. Congressman Schrader held a meeting we were all at down in Staten. And the Army Corps actually admitted after that meeting, they didn't think about all the downstream consequences of what they were planning on doing. So they had to take a really big step back. And, you know, as much as this water crisis here in Salem hurt us this year, it was kind of awakening to most people. Now most citizens know where their water comes from. It comes out of Detroit Dam. And that dam up there and that river cleanliness is really critical to us and our livelihood down here. So for them to drain a lake for 2 years, and not have water coming in. And I'll just give you an example, because I've been following this. In the middle of the summer, and you think about what would have happened if the dam wasn't there. In the middle of the summer, they'll lower the cubic feet per second coming out to the lowest level that is about 900 cubic feet per second. They can go a little bit lower than that, but after that, Salem can't suck water out of the river.
Okay.
But coming in above, because they measure it from all the incoming, it might be 300 cubic feet per second. So if you took that dam down to a level where you had no water storage, you'd have 300 or 400 cubic feet per second coming out of the dam in the middle of the summer, and Salem would be dry. It wouldn't be able to suck water out. So those are the kinds of things that just today, you know, people say dams have, you know, necessarily hurt us in a lot of ways. If you got pictures of this Willamette Valley before that dam went in, every 5 years you'd see this Willamette Valley is just flooded. And you'll hear Army Corps, their number one mission is flood control.
Mm-hmm.
Billions and billions of dollars of assets that they would be liable for if we flooded. So we got the water mixing tower. We pushed back a little bit. Last I heard,
you pushed back a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've actually entered a lawsuit. Salem's entered the lawsuit because they were just negotiating with the Enviros on this deal. And so by us having standing in the lawsuit and Salem having standing, they got to listen and we got to see where we're going to go. The other, they took a step back, but I've heard that they've got a new design that they may just hook to the dam, which would not require them to go down and put a foundation down below. So if they do that, they got to figure out how to engineer it and if the dam is strong enough to hold it. So I think we'll get more information here in the next probably February or March from what their plans is. We may have a work session. We're trying to have them come in and talk to us before they go out public. And,
So we
know what's going on.
Well, let's go back to the drawing board, civil engineers, structural engineers. Let's let them think about doing it a different way.
Right, exactly.
Well, thank you. I want to thank you and keep up fighting.
Yeah,
for
we
all
will.
Of us. It's incalculable, it's a hard word to say, but in terms of the impact that would have on agriculture. You know,
oh, yeah.
All the irrigation, and of course, we all want to drink the water, please. So
yeah,
state
right.
And so the entire right. valley, we don't want to have water to drink, but the agriculture relies on the irrigation water and all of those things.
Yeah, and I'm not an attorney, but Salem's standing is based on the water supply for domestic. Our standing in the lawsuit is based on agriculture and the recreation behind the dam.
Well, and Detroit should be in there, too, for their recreation and their livelihood.
Yeah, that's what I just said. So
So
Detroit didn't sue, but we're suing.
They should.
Our standing is for the agricultural water supply, the economic. Ours is on economic damages and then the recreational issue behind the dam.
It's kind of dumbfounded that they, relatively intelligent people with a lot of education, and they're thinking about this side of the dam and that side of the dam, and they're not thinking about downstream.
Yeah, but they weren't asked to do that. And the good thing, Brent, is the fact that they have this environmental impact study they have to go through, and they got to get that input. So here's a case where I think it actually worked to say, we had this idea and here we're going, and all of a sudden, no, when they went through that gathering of that information, they said, no, we can't do this the way we intended to.
Good.
Well, at least we hope they can't.
Yeah. Good. We all appreciate going up to Detroit Lake for a little bit of boating, a little bit of picnicking, a little bit of camping. It's so beautiful up there. All right. So also in the canyon, there's other things involved. The water when we're done with it and projects, and that intersects with the county, right? Because these small communities can't build several hundred million dollar facility like Salem has for their sewer.
Right.
What happens to... Is that a county job?
So it's not necessarily a county job, but here's one of the things that I have always looked at as a Marion County Commissioner. We have the most incorporated cities of any county in the state. We have 20 incorporated cities. So if you pull out the Salems and the Kaisers and the Woodburns, maybe Silvertons that can stand on their own and have their own departments that do things for them, you've got 15 cities out there that are extremely small and don't have the resources. So I feel that one of our roles is to help them with our economic development department, our public works department. So we have spent the last, three plus years working with the canyon on a sewer system, a potential future sewer system. And I don't know if anybody's listening to read the newspaper the other day. There was an article that I didn't like the headline, but basically it said the sewer system's coming to Detroit, right? And that's not necessarily true yet. We've been working on forming a sewer district, and Danielle Gonzalez in our Economic Development Department has really worked really closely with all the cities up there, and they're all on board to form this district. So what it would be, it'd be one district. So you would, again... You know, how do you do this efficiently? You have one person that goes around and tests things, right? Not each city up there. Mm-hmm. So if we can get a district done, and then we know that the full thing, because the full bore load would be a $92 million project. We've got that information. Nobody's got $92 million laying around, but you could piece it off and start by section, because it's not going to be, if you think about it, it's not going to be one drain or sewer system coming up and down the canyon. You can't do it. It's not feasible. So you'd have, like Idana and Detroit would be combined. You'd have Mill City and Gates combined, and that maybe flow down to Lyons and Mahama.
Treatment center?
Right, in each one of those areas. And you've got this three basin rule, which I don't want to get too complicated, but you've got the Clackamas, the Saniam, and the McKenzie. There's no ability to discharge even the purest water into those things. Whereas Salem's discharging, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot design a system up there that discharges. So that increased the cost. You have to find property where you can literally sprinkler the water or do a glorified septic leach line up there. Can't come back into the river or the lake because you'd be drinking it.
Well, maybe we can irrigate for some new trees after we let them burn down.
Vehicles should do.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
After we let them all the trees burn down, maybe we can plant some more.
Let's not get started on that subject today.
All right, so there's two sides of this. So we have, you're talking about a district, and we talked about that. We had this Salem-Keizer Transit District representative here last week, and that is a boundary with a governance. And the school district is a boundary with elected governance and so forth. So this would be a district, and it'd have another layer of governance, right, and taxpayer collection. But on the other hand, so a lot of people are against that because now we're just layering. So we got city and we got county. We're sticking in the middle of this district and so this, that, that, that. However, you can use it for working collaboratively together to have everybody pitch in to pay the big bill, right?
Yeah, yeah. It'll have to be something that the local people up there want. And in this case, we would set up a governing body for that district, and that district would handle that. We, as commissioners, we're the governing body of several districts, special districts. I don't know if people know that.
I didn't.
OSU Service Extension District, we're the board. Marion County Housing Authority, we're the board. The special district in Brooks that runs the sewer system up there, we're the board for that. Up in Aurora, the Aurora exit, I can't remember what the name of that is. That's another special sewer district. We're the board for that. So we're trying not to be the board for the canyon. We're trying to let the locals be the board for the canyon, but we're trying to help them get it going.
Otherwise, you'll end up your entire career
being on boards.
Just being in meetings. That's right.
Well, it is that way already.
Hey, you're listening to Newsmakers here on KYKN. We're with Commissioner Kevin Cameron of Marion County, and we're going to talk a little bit more after the break. Stay with us. We're at 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. We're in our final segment this noon hour. Thanks for being with us. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. We're talking to County Commissioner Kevin Cameron. That's a lot of C's.
It is.
County Commissioner Kevin Cameron.
But I'm learning a lot.
A lot of alliteration this at noon hour. Thanks for being with us. We're talking about Detroit Lake and amending, altering the plans to drain the lake that the Corps of Engineers had suggested for 2 years. And finding another solution for that sewer work in the canyon so that they can band together and have a system that is serving everybody instead of a patchwork of systems,
right?
That's probably a least efficient way to do that. And we talked a lot about the reentry program where we are, I'll take credit for that.
Sure.
The county, actually, and the community college, and the city, and the state have collaborated to try to lower the rate of individuals coming out of the state institutions in the Salem area here in Marion County, people that end up back in prison. So that'd be the most expensive way to handle corrections, getting people with housing, hooking up them with housing, hooking up with jobs and job skills, maybe even a certification from a community college, right?
Right.
So I applaud that. That is great. We can lower the amount of people that end up homeless or in need of services and don't know where to turn. So it's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, actually, because I know with your fellow two commissioners, you take a great interest in this. And obviously it was Jenna Carlson that started it before you got here.
We're going to miss her.
Indeed. Yeah. One other thing that the county does we haven't talked much about in the show is economic development. And most people would be surprised to learn that there is a role that you get lottery dollars and you get to allocate where they go to try to help develop economic development activity here in the county for people who are creating jobs and people who are expanding their work, right? Expanding their operations.
Right.
Or going to the next degree of automation or what have you, right?
Right, exactly.
So, and you invested in an economic development staff person, right?
Yes.
All right, tell us about that.
We got two FTEs in economic development. So Tom Hogue, who joined us, and Danielle Gonzalez, I already mentioned, doing a great job in our economic development. You know, one of the things, maybe just back up a little bit, because we did talk budget a little bit. We had about $1.6 million, not a lot, a bit. I mean, obviously, it's a lot to you and I individually, but relative to our whole budget of about 90, it's now our general fund budget, which is your property tax dollars. If you look at your property tax statement, there's a line in there that Marion County gets. We don't get it all. It's about $100 million, and then we have a $400 million all funds budget. So in that, $1.6 million is lottery dollars that we get. So we pay for our staff out of that and other things. Some of the projects I think that people would recognize in the community that Marion County's been behind, and I always say this, it is the Oregon Garden, not the Marion County Garden. However, we just ended up, over the years, paid off those bonds of $5 million, and we just turned that into a grant, basically saying, look, we just are giving the garden over and saying we want to make sure this is successful so you don't have this debt load. So we spent $5 million of our lottery dollars on the Oregon Garden over the last however many years.
I think in addition to Salem is listening, Silverton's listening. Hopefully Silverton's out there listening.
Silverton better be listening. And we know that that's a great economic developer for travel and tourism. In fact, I was just out there for Christmas in the Garden. If your listeners have not experienced that, it's really a great show.
It's awesome, yeah. I've been there.
It is really neat, yeah. And so next year, Christmas in the Garden. So in addition to those types of projects, we've done things like up in the canyon with economic dollars, economic development dollars. We've actually, because of this water issue with the marinas, we've actually got them grants for extending their ramps down to their docks. Because remember in 2015, we had no water, and then we've had these low water years. So they'll be able to be resilient during these water fluctuation years. And the next step up there, and we've got the permits. We've actually helped them with this. We've got permits. They will now be able to go through and excavate and lower the level of the marinas. So when the water level's lower, they'd be able to operate longer. So we're trying to help with those types of things, and we use our lottery dollars for that. But the main thing we've doing is our strategic plan for our economic development. And I love to talk about this because I'm seeing examples everywhere I go, is investing in technology and agriculture. Our agricultural heritage, we're the number one ag producing county in the state. Mm-hmm. We cannot not neglect that. So helping companies survive and finding added value in agriculture through technology is our number one priority on our economic development plan. So that's something that, and we're sharing that within the whole county so that it's not just an economic development division, it's actually public works and our community services. Everybody knows about this plan that we're working on.
And that intersects with so many things. When we talk about agriculture and the agribusiness sector of our economy, it intersects with land use, intersects mm-hmm. with water resources, intersects with OSU Extension, intersects with the jobs, and of course, high tech. And I've been to some presentations of high-tech agriculture. It's mind-blowing what they do with GPS, what they do with
Salem Chamber's having one coming up, I think, on Monday.
While we're talking about the garden, don't just wait for next Christmas. Just go up there and have dinner.
Yeah.
In the summer, some concerts. I've been up there in concerts. And for tourism, it's a nice little getaway from the Mid-Valley. So I had a little plug there, Silverton Garden, Oregon Garden in Silverton.
Yeah.
spend a little money, have some dinner, spend a night, spend your anniversary up there or something like that. All right. Well, so many other things we could talk about, and we even barely talked about the budget. You mentioned the all funds budget being $400 million, and I think a lot of people, unless they watch really closely, don't understand how small of the overall budget a section is that you have discretion over.
Right.
Right. So this discretionary budget, it might be in all funds, but some of it is tied to federal money that must go to this, or it's lottery dollars that must go to this, or it's water and sewer money that must go to this. So
well, it's $100 million is our general fund. We can be discretionary. And about 70% of that goes into public safety.
70% of that was important. I'm glad we got to that before the hour was over. Yeah. 70% of all the dollars you have to have any discretion over goes to public safety.
Yeah, DA's office, the sheriff's office, the jail, juvenile, all those programs.
For the roads, it's gas tax money and so forth, right? All right, thank you for being here with us.
My pleasure.
We got to go, but we'll have you back here on Newsmakers. Thanks for joining us. This is 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. From the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.